really strong win against Oklahoma State, and really proud of our team for and coaches for being prepared. Loved how we started. Loved the fight and the grit that the defense in particular showed to finish. We had too many lulls in the game offensively, but we did enough in all three phases to have tremendous game control, and with the game's never in doubt. And again, just love the improvement that I've seen with a bunch of players, different units, creating turnovers, attacking the line of scrimmage. Really excited for the seniors to be able to leave in their last game at the Palace with a win. Certainly against our rival, adds a little more to it for obvious reasons. And we got a great challenge now, finishing out the regular season, going out to Texas Tech. Much improved Texas Tech team, playing with a lot of confidence right now. And as we know, Tech plays really well at home, and they've played well on the road, but they play really well at home. So not an easy place to go out and play. They'll have the place packed out for the Sooners. They'll do a tremendous job in the environment and the atmosphere. So, my challenge to the team is, hopefully they're not satisfied with winning a sixth game. We got a lot of football still in front of us, opportunity to really continue to create some momentum for us going into postseason play. And again, a great challenge. We're going to need to play well this week.
We're in an era now where between the regular season game and the bowl game, we're seeing a lot of players opt out, a lot of roster movement, transfer portals. Have you discussed players that may be looking to opt out? Do you think anyone will? And how will you handle that situation as a first-year coach?
Again, I've been trying to create loyalty to the journey, loyalty to the brand, loyalty to their teammates, their brotherhood. That's a very real thing. You're not going to just do it overnight. We've had problems with that in the past here at Oklahoma. I'm not a big fan of it for a lot of reasons. First and foremost, it's being committed to something and finishing what you started. And at some point in time, that's got to mean something. Relationships, your opportunity, being thankful for your opportunity. And you play your whole career, any sport, and there's always a risk, for injury, things of that nature. But I think it, just as a man, that's, you do what you say you're going to do, and no matter what. And so I'm not a big fan of that. I know it's a popular thing that's out there, but there's plenty of places that you don't see it really happen much at all. And that's what I'm trying to create here. And so I didn't talk about specifically with any particular players, but I've been working on that for the last 11 plus months, those things that I, said, trying to, again, create a very connected place. And if you're connected, that'll be a much more difficult decision. If it's a transactional environment, I think it's a much easier decision. So.
Ryan Aver?
Yeah, Brandon, you are trying to maintain some momentum coming off Saturday. Does it make it easier at all, the way the last three quarters went, especially offensively, to sort of have your messages hit home a little bit with those guys about staying focused?
Yeah, I think a sense of urgency maybe is what you're alluding to. Yeah absolutely. Got a bunch of guys that are really prideful, that have been incredibly successful when all the moving parts are there together. Like most units, they've done incredibly well all year. And, some of it is precision, some of it's timing, some of it's play call, some of it's how we handled it as a staff. Some of it's missed opportunity, a bunch of different things. And so to me, creating a sense of urgency is definitely, priority number one. And I think that's easy to cast. I don't think everybody shares in a lack of urgency, either. But it doesn't take much when you're not executing well. So, you know, that's fair to say that, you know, that's a part that's, again, you got to have, you know, show up like your hair's on fire and you got something to prove. You know, you, in some ways your back's against the wall. You know, I think that's, you know, as a competitor, you know, you want to show that that's not reflective of really, you know, who we are and who we've been.
Sense of urgency easier to cultivate at this point in the season too?
I don't know if it's ever easy or if it's ever really hard. Again, I think the players, if they're about the right stuff, will take on the they'll take on the personality of their coaches to some degree.
Building that foundation of consistency. When it comes to that defensive performance against OSU, especially when it comes to the younger guys that maybe got in and had an impact, where do you want to see them grow after a performance like that?
Handle success. You know, stay every bit as hungry, not be satisfied, have that same sense of urgency. Just be hungry and focused and detailed. Continue to, you know, I don't take any of that for granted. I assume they'll come back and feel really good about themselves. But I didn't see that yesterday. A bunch of guys were in the facility on Sunday on their day off, you know, talking about wish they had, you know, more games on the schedule. I believe that that's, you know, a desire of some of the guys, you know, that they really start to feel confident, comfortable, sure of themselves. You know, that's probably not the case for every single guy, but, you know, the right guys are really starting to buy into how we do what we do, what it takes, and are willing to sacrifice, you know, for that commitment and having an opportunity to be successful. Sometimes you do it and you commit to a way of doing things, not a way of doing things if I get the result that I want. You have to be willing to commit to it no matter what, you know, and whether you're successful or you're not, you go right back to it again. And so there's, again, that's the buy-in, that's the mindset, the attitude, the work, and you're trying to create great habits that lead to an opportunity to be successful and to improve. So, you know, that's got to be the buy-in, is starting with the mindset and then the work that it takes.
Brent, his defensive line production has been up and down throughout the course of the year. How has Miguel Chavis handled it in his first year as being the full-time guy? And what have you really liked about what Miguel's done throughout the course of the year?
Yeah, he's very passionate. He's detailed, cares deeply for his guys, both as human beings, first and foremost, and as players. He knows that the players are a reflection of him. And so if we have fallen short, he's taken it personally. Which he should, you know. He loves what he does. If you're going to have a chance to be great at something, you got to love what you do. You got to be passionate about it and everything that it takes. And so he's all of those things. He knows that when you're building something, there has to be a sense of urgency and a sense of patience too. But to get the buy-in that you want, it's a relational piece. It's a motivating piece. It's, you know, you got to challenge your guys on a daily basis. They got to work for a result every day. And so I think he's done a terrific job. And where his guys are at today, a year from now, they'll be, again, in a whole nother, you know, they'll take a huge step, you know, of from where they're at right now. I believe that. But I've been really pleased with Miguel. And he's the same guy every day. He shows up, you know, he's at 10, and he's got great humility, and his guys love him for that. You know, he's very open, honest, transparent, but he's tough and demanding.
Take another step. Spending this year around him as one of the leaders on this team, watching him grow into that role, is there anything that you personally have learned about this job, about this sport, about leadership, having him on this team with this particular year?
Well, I think that he's, like all great leaders, he's selfless, willing to sacrifice, great toughness. He's a model of consistency, great humility. He loves the work, loves the grind, loves his teammates, and he's willing to say and do the uncomfortable and the things that are not popular. So it's, for me, it's been just reinforcement. You know, there's great leaders everywhere, and, you know, I'm trying to create an environment that nurtures that, that develops other leaders, and trying to help him be effective, and, you know, make the kind of impact that he wants. Sometimes those guys, we all need a little bit of, you know, affirmation, and so tried to propel him in that regard with as much support, you know, not only from myself but from other players too. You know, sometimes when you're a young person and you're trying to lead and it isn't always taking root, you can get frustrated and grow weary. And so I've constantly tried to be an example for him, first and foremost, and then number two is to encourage. And, you know, we meet, you know, with the senior council twice a week. And, you know, that's a big part of that, those, you know, small windows of opportunity to show them, teach them, encourage them on how to be effective leaders and how to be an agent of change in the environment that they're in. And they control the environment with their attitude and their energy, their mindset, you know, their work, all of those things. So I've just tried to help him and serve him however I can from a leadership standpoint, but just got great, great appreciation for his journey, for his development. I know he wasn't a highly recruited guy, but man, he has over-delivered, you know, throughout his career. Nobody on our team has more command and respect than Braden, and he's willing to say the things that everyone needs to hear sometimes that a lot of guys won't say. And so he's got a tremendous legacy here, you know, because of his investment in this university.
Do you have any update on Daniel Parker as things stand?
I don't.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Brad, you talked about this a little bit after the game, that you didn't like the fact your defense had to play 102 plays, but when you look at how many your linebackers played almost every one of those, and we talked about the reason why, but I'm curious how well you felt like they held up and how well did they play. I think Woody played close to 100 plays too. Those guys that had to play those extended plays, how well do you feel like they did?
I think they did terrific. Graded out really well, very productive. Didn't see a lot of drop-off. You know, that's not ideal. And the tempo of the game, the flow of the game, you know, and how we were playing, you know, on defense dictated that to a certain degree. Not an easy thing to manage necessarily, but I thought those guys played really well. So they... I played with great competitive strain, you know, for the entirety of the game.
Did you talk about the matchup you have with Tech's offense?
But you know, a big part of that, too, is, and I know they played 100 and some plays, but they played very few drives for very long. So their length of play on any particular series was pretty short, you know, 8 3 and outs, 4 turnovers and 4 turnovers on downs. So you're not at, when you were out there, you're out there a lot, but not out there long periods of time. Sometimes, you know, you're out there for a 12, 13, 14 play drive. That can take its toll, and it's harder to recover within the game, you know, from situations like that.
Did you talk about your defensive matchup against Tech's offense in the game?
Yeah, obviously, number one, Tech's played really well at home, averaging close to 40 points a game at home. Whether they beat, you know, Texas or, you know, played great games against TCU and Oklahoma State, two of the better, you know, teams in the conference as well. They're playing with a lot of confidence. Tyler Shuck is a guy that he's a big guy, got a great arm, transfer from Oregon, got really good receivers, good backs. You know, defensively, they play with a lot of confidence. They're going to get up in your grits and challenge you. They're going to attack you. They're going to put pressure on you, five- and six-man pressures and man-to-man, and then they'll drop eight as well. Great, great matchup, you know, for both sides of the ball. You know, Texas Tech, philosophically, they go really fast. I think they lead the FBS in plays a game, and I think they've had five games over 100 plays. So you're going to have to defend a bunch of plays. They do a great, great job, very efficient, both running and throwing, got great systems. They got a really good staff. Got a lot of respect for Joey McGuire. Recruited his schools when he was at Cedar Hill as a high school coach, and he's a good friend. Somebody I've stayed in touch with throughout the years, and got a lot of guys on staff I'm very familiar with. Very, very good staff.
Okay, let's go to the right side and work our way down the line. Jenny?
Hey, Brent. Bringing Matt Wells onto your staff, can you kind of rewind on how that transpired and what he's brought to the extended support staff you have?
Yeah, he's obviously has extensive experience as a head coach. Certainly, as you know, being from Oklahoma, understands our program. Has recruited this state, you know, his entire career. His brother Luke obviously was on our team as well as a quarterback years ago in the late '90s, early 2000s. So, I've known Matt and his brother Luke since I came to Oklahoma in 1999. Yeah, great people, really sharp, strong football mind. We've stayed in touch, you know, throughout the years. When he was let go, reached out, stayed in touch, and then some point in time after I was here in January or so, he reached out and we talked through some things and what a potential role might be and what that might look like and how I could you know, how we could use his experience and his wisdom. And, you know, he came in with great humility, you know, depth of knowledge of the conference. And, hey, here's kind of who everybody is. There's just a lot, you know, that he brings from an experience standpoint that, you know, we can always tap into, you know, those things. So he's been a really good addition. He's done a great job in that support role. For both our offensive staff, and you know, he's basically oversees all the support staff guys in the offensive room, and then you know, we do with all the offensive and defensive support staffs, we have them do. They've got a lot of stuff they got to do every day that helps us prepare for today and always be, you know, maybe a week ahead from an efficiency standpoint. So he's done a terrific job. I know it's been hard on him because he's got daughters in high school and in college that aren't here with him. So we tried to help him as much as we can so that he can try to do both. But it's not an easy thing to do.
Justin, you talked a lot in the past about, you know, when you're bringing in a transfer or a recruit, obviously they have to play to a certain level but also fit the culture as well. With C.J. Colden, I mean, what was it about him when your first conversations with him that made you feel like he was going to be the right fit for this team?
Yeah, just had a lot of energy, very humble, articulate. He was very thankful for the opportunity he had where he was a good player for them. And so he had nothing but great things to say about the environment that he was in every day. So I like that as opposed to saying, man, I got to get out of here. This place stinks, whatever. You know, just so that was important in our initial conversation. And never asked for anything. He didn't want me to explain to him, you know how quickly he become the starter, things like that. So he just he was thankful to have an opportunity to come. And everybody that I had spoken to spoke very highly of him from the standpoint of work ethic and competitiveness, great teammate, things of that nature. So those are some of our initial conversations and first impression. It was really, we liked what we saw on tape. We knew we were thin, you know, in the secondary. And, you know, the biggest disappointment was that we couldn't, you know, we were working through some things, you know, from a transfer standpoint. And when we found out he couldn't be here for spring ball, that was obviously disappointing. Still would have taken him anyway. But it put him a little bit behind, you know, some of the other guys. Mm-hmm.
How do you balance that, Brent? You've talked about you value loyalty and, you know, you're trying to instill loyalty. Yeah. You want guys that are here and committed to be here. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the same thing's happening in other places, I assume, and they don't want to lose their guys either. How do you balance that, wanting your guys to stay?
The loyalty is these guys that are they're at the end of their career, and so there's something that's next. I'm not talking about guys that are picking up, leaving, going to another school. You know, that's going to happen. You know, guys are unhappy with their opportunity. You know, there's a maturation. Sometimes it's a mutual thing. You know, guys aren't invested. They show up every day. They're doing the bare minimum. They're looking for holes in the fence or a corner to cut. Bring no value to the environment and have no appreciation for their opportunity. Sometimes, you know, it's good to have a mutual agreement. I'm not talking about that. Now, I am trying to help guys grow up. Sometimes it's because a guy's immature. And so everybody's the litmus test and is different for everybody. But I'm really talking about guys, for example, that are aspiring to go to the NFL, whether that's early or that they're finishing, you know, their collegiate eligibility to finish what you started. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about loyalty, a brotherhood, finish what you started. Just for me personally, I don't understand how you can, I don't understand how you can do that, you know, unless you're again a guy that. And I don't know. I've seen it. So the opposite way, you know, somebody that, you know, a top 10 pick or something like that, that for whatever reason, that's the best, you know, in his best interest not to participate and finish, you know, the season. So, you know, it's easy for me to sit up here and say, but I just want to create, you know, an environment. And again, I've had, 30 years of loyalty. You know, to my job. I took this job. I didn't coach in a bowl game, but this is the one head coaching job I took. And, you know, I felt like I needed to do that for the betterment of the team so I could, you know, I'm leading 120 guys and, 50 plus people from a staff standpoint. There's a lot of work to be done that I couldn't do both. Getting ready to play in the NFL. The best thing you can do is keep playing and gaining experience and improving and showing your worth and your value by how you play. That's how you get drafted. For me as a head coach, the best thing I could do was step away, not be a distraction, and do the best job I could, you know, connecting with the players, hiring the staff, developing programs, things of that nature. I'm just thinking both sides of the coin and making sure I defend myself, I guess, because it's like I said, it can sound self-serving, but I've lived a career of that from a coach standpoint, and I was a player, and I get it, what it means to be committed to something.
Darren, Brent, you've alluded a few times over the course of the season about how you have experiences this year, which will make you better down the road as a head coach, mm-hmm. Head coach for the first time. I'm wondering, in reference to the game Saturday night, if clock management, game management is something that is one of those things that you'll...
Yeah, we ran the ball 16 of our last 18, you know, snaps. We should have huddled, you know, the whole fourth quarter. But we're also trying to, you know, Oklahoma State did not come in here having this impenetrable defense. They were... a defense that had not played consistently well, and we thought there was a lot of opportunity. What we didn't do philosophically was stay aggressive in what we were doing, like we did the first quarter. And so Yeah, learned. We got to stay more aggressive, particularly in the third quarter, and again in the fourth quarter, needed to huddle and take our time and run the clock down. Even though we were running the ball, things happen that we weren't on the field long enough to, manage the game better.
Is that an instance, just as a quick follow-up, where you get on the set and say, hey, Jeff, let's do that. Let's make sure we're being mindful of the play clock, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, where you step in and play your role, essentially.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Okay,
thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Back left, John Hoover.
Yeah, hey, Brent. Big recruiting weekend for you guys last weekend. I wonder if you could kind of go into some details without any names or any kind of things like that. Just details on how interesting it is or compelling it is for you to manage, you and your staff to manage that many guys, what their feedback was, what kind of, did they tell you they had a great time, all that kind of stuff. Just kind of pull back the curtain and let us know you've already started getting benefits from it, apparently.
We have, and obviously that was, what you hoped and intended. You got a thing that helps all that is, having a great experience from the moment they get here, whether that's an official visit or an unofficial visit. We've got a really good, strong staff, and that's full-time people, that's a recruiting staff, that's all the support staff, student workers, bringing everybody together. I thought that Lee Davis and J.R. Sandlin did a terrific job, and then everybody that I just named, putting all hands on deck. There's a lot of coordination that takes place, a lot of details that you, and it's always changing, lots of communication from the moment the first visitor arrives. And so you want it to be a wonderful experience, even if it's somebody that you're not necessarily high on your list yet or ever going to be. If we're bringing them on our campus, we have a responsibility to make sure that we, expose them to all the good things about that make Oklahoma a special place. And so having a great experience is our responsibility to make sure that everyone does. So we, I think everybody did a great job of doing exactly that. But they start rolling in here, on Thursday. And it's, again, not an easy thing. And then they're here a good part of on Sunday. And as I told a lot of the full-time staff, that's great, but we have obligations that we have to do, and you only have so much time during the course of the week. There's a schedule that we got to stay on from a preparation standpoint, closing the books on the last game, film study, notes. Our players are coming in here expecting us to be 100% ready, and so managing that is also not an easy thing. And because you want to, again, give people their proper send-off and things of that nature, finish the visits the right way. So everything from coming to the team hotel with the guys, with the the players, and seeing what that looks like at Friday night's meetings and dinner and movies, post movie meetings as well, and then Saturday morning, what that looks like as well, game day meetings. There's a lot that goes into it. It's not just, guys go to a room and there's meeting. There's philosophy that, it's the sports performance side of it that, you always want to help, lead guys and encourage them the right way. So they're exposed to a lot of things. And then getting over to campus and what that's like, making sure that they get exposed to, a game day environment. And we're always trying to work as a staff too. We got a staff that's very experienced, have been a lot of really great places in college football. And so we're always looking at how can we make things better? All right, this is good. How can we make it better? So if that's what it looks like to tailgate, we're working hard, for the people. Cause I think that's, you want a connected environment. And, meetings with me on game day, I only have so much time. I get here 2 hours and 15 minutes before the game. And so, but you want some one-on-one meetings with guys that are committed, with guys that you've offered in the current class and the next class. So you have to prioritize. I try to prioritize to the guys that are committed first and foremost. You go on the field, there's guys coming out to say hello on the field, and you're always conscious of not trying to hurt anyone's feelings. Somebody's going to always have their feelings hurt, but once we leave the meetings, I'm running the defensive meeting, Jeff's running the offensive meeting, and then the rest of the full-time staff, while we're with the players at the hotel all day, they're back here working relentlessly. And so that's with lunches and tours and just like Dalen Smothers, we had a recruit his mother had never been here. And so from out of state. And so we had to make sure she got, what would be almost like an official visit, while she was here. The things that you're allowed to do on an unofficial visit, make sure that she had a great peace of mind. She had a great experience. And so there's, several instances like that. So all the while, there's other recruits that aren't here that you're trying to stay in touch with, throughout the course of the day. Maybe it's congratulating them on a great win, or you're sending them words of encouragement. Their senior year is over now. So we do a great job. There's part of our staff that's always giving you the up-to-dates, what's going on with the other recruits, guys that are still playing and competing, or where they're at recruiting-wise. And so there's tons of communication, lots of information that runs through, across your desk, if you will, nonstop. You got early morning, Sunday morning breakfasts at my house. You got meetings back here. You're trying to manage all that around your normal Sunday, Monday are probably your two most difficult, challenging days as a coach from a preparation standpoint. You got to manage all that, together.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Back row, Carrie Murdoch.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Throw another landmine at you then. NCAA has allowed universities to kind of coaches, athletic directors to tell fans it's okay to give to collectives and direct them that way. From where it started to kind of where it is now, I don't know how much you've been able to get updates on that. Are you pretty pleased that kind of that starting to kind of develop a little bit of a groundswell in Norman?
Yeah, absolutely. I think most recently, I think there's all hands on deck. I think our leadership has been strong, and more like everyone else, trying to navigate it. And there's a constant feed of information. Some of it's accurate, some of it's not. And you're trying to manage all of that, understanding that how long-term is this? And so do we want to wait and try to figure it out, or are we going to be aggressive and be able to make a hard left or hard right-hand turn when we need to? And so I've been really pleased with leadership here at the university, and again, the support, with the right people, on the outside. I don't spend a lot of time on it, and I get the information. I've shared philosophically how I feel about, this space. Think it's a there can be plenty of good things. My only concern is that we don't lose sight of the true value of what going to college is all about, and using the stage and the platform the right way to educate, to be informative, to promote and help these guys with their platforms and chase all of their dreams, facilitate all of their dreams. That's a great thing, but don't lose sight of the value of an education, getting your degree, holistic development, becoming a man, developing and taking all the transferable skills that the game of football, managing their day-to-day lives, you know, how that can impact them for the rest of their life as husbands and as fathers, as leaders, as businessmen. It's a very real thing. It's a very practical thing. But keeping the main thing is what that is all about, not prostituting, you know, these kids. And again, you're just trying to be a vessel of information and education, because not everybody sees it the same way. I think a lot of people do. I think families that, you know, have the right, there's nothing wrong with a family saying, yeah, we'd like, you know, Johnny to have a, you know, to maximize this small window, but not at the expense of learning the value of work ethic and being a great teammate and having some stick-to-itness and learning about the ability to persevere and overcome, figure things out, fight and compete, fall on your face and learn how to drag yourself up off the mat and go back to work and start swinging. Like the real value of education, like getting your degree, that moment of walking across the stage and getting a degree to be a football coach, you know, to be a teacher, and so many other professions, you got to have a degree as a bare minimum. You're constantly, you know, acquiring life skills if you're in the right environment. Environments matter. People matter. People are contagious. And so for us, we want trying to create a very connected home for these guys. They're going to go through all the moments of success and a whole lot of failure and lots of moments of anxiousness and anxiety. Our job is to meet them where they're at and be seeds of encouragement, seeds of truth, seeds of accountability, and be, again, the lamp at their feet to help them manage the next several years, but most importantly, to be able to have an impact strong enough and influence the window that we have to influence to help prepare them for real life, you know, and how to respond. And you don't, you're not entitled to anything. You're entitled to you get what you earn. And what's so wrong with that? And so, to me, that trumps everything. But I think we'd be negligent and behind the times, if you will, if we don't provide these young people an opportunity to take advantage of their name, image, and likeness. I think it's a great thing. But keep it in the right perspective. And again, there's certain parts it teaches them. Here's how the market works. You know, if you use your platform the right way, you know, you're a source of inspiration. You give people hope. You know, you have a sense of humility to you. Everybody loves humility. You're about the work. You know, they see you strain out there. You get it play in front of millions of people each and every week, and Oklahoma is going to be on TV, and everybody's tuning into Oklahoma, whether you're hoping they lose or you're pulling for them to win. And you have this amazing window, this opportunity to write your resume, you know, to tell the story, to control what they write. They're gonna write based on what they see you do. And so I think this, you know, to teach this, again, I go back to the education piece, lots of opportunity to educate, you know, maybe that's financial literacy, like literal education. But the life skills, the transferable skills, that while they're here is a big part of, to me, that is also NIL. That's our responsibility, not to lose sight of that. And the environment doesn't necessarily mesh with that, okay? In some ways, it's contradictory. And so for us, we're trying to, you know, blend it all together. I think that's important, that we do everything we can to fight and compete for our players and to help them in that market. And then, you know, what you'll find out is some guys are just too lazy. They don't want to do any extra work. You know, they're fine with what they got. But I think it's a great thing to put some money in their pocket, give them an opportunity to, you know, expand their brand if that's something that they're looking to do. There's definitely opportunity to do that when you co-brand with Jordan and the University of Oklahoma and the excellence that it represents. And then again, as much as anything else, to get the, you know, the quality education, the experience that gives you, you know, for the next several years.
Mm-hmm. Over here, Joey Helmer.
Yeah, you talked earlier about the loyalty to the program. Just how key have some of your super seniors, Deshaun White, Justin Broyles, Braden you talked about earlier, been to setting those things foundation-wise for you guys?
You know, I think they're great examples of what you want it to look like. They're all playing their best football, too, and it's amazing how that works. But if you stay committed, you know, this is a developmental game. The more you play, the better you get. The law of the bamboo, it may not happen those first few years, but you just keep plugging away and cultivating, and next thing you know, they may come out of nowhere and have this monstrous last year or so of their career. But those guys, from a leadership standpoint, examples of people that you can point to, of the success that they're having in the moment and enjoying it, even though, believe it or not, we just won our sixth game, all right? So we're not having this amazing season from a win-loss perspective, but they're having the time of their life. And Deshaun will tell you that he's never been closer to a group of people, and he's loving the journey, and he feels like he's working harder than he ever has. And so I think that's a great thing. That's a great testimony. You guys can interview and ask those questions to the other guys. I think you would hear the same thing from several other guys.
Any more questions for Coach?
Yeah, we'll have one. You played really good defense three of the last 4 weeks and whatever you think about the Baylor game. But compared to earlier in the year, that improvement, what does that do for you? Not just Tech and the bowl game. What does that do for you and program going forward and trying to build the defensive presence that you want to build?
Well, it lends credibility with our players, first and foremost, of what it takes. And as I've said many times, I can't change what it takes. And it never happens as fast as you want. And so even that part of it, you know, the endurance that you got to have, it's not just going to happen right away. But that's the number one thing, is lending credibility. Certainly continue to attract. It always helps in the recruiting world. That's, you know, we're in a competitive business, and so you want to be able to sell hope, you know, and you got this vision, but vision with no results is not an easy thing to sell, especially in the here and the now. Fortunately for us, we've got depth and depth and depth of really good successful experience to continue to sell. But it's better, if you can say, hey man, we're top 10 in the country in interceptions or pass efficiency defense, or leading the country in power five schools for tackles for loss, or three of our linebackers are top 12 in the conference in tackles, number one, number four, and 11 or 12. Offensively, leading the conference in rushing. Eric Gray, one of the best in the country. All kinds of good things. Dylan Gabriel, I think he's one or two. I think he's number two in the conference in efficiency, quarterback efficiency. So, or Marvin Mims being one of the best receivers in the conference with his success. I know you're talking about defense in particular, but I'm just thinking about all the different areas that goes along with that. But that's the biggest thing is it helps obviously with our current players and what we're asking them to do, what it takes, the depth of the knowledge, the experience, the studying, the understanding of everybody around them. And that will help for the returning players, certainly. And then these guys have been a great voice. The guys that won't be here have been a great example of the work that it takes as well. So, that's what I think, playing a little better can do for you.
Brent, the OSU game, they had so many opportunities to kind of crack back open the door, and the defense continued to slam it shut. Like, probably not since Nebraska have we seen that. Was there, when those guys came back to the sideline, was there a demeanor, was there a communication maybe that made you feel like, okay, these guys are starting to get this a little bit?
Yeah, hungry and tough, responsive, accountable, self-awareness, good body language. There's always really stressful moments. And so how you handle all of that I'm always, when I get in there, I'm going to try to be practical, strategic, but also creating a lot of stress that it takes, the sense of urgency that it takes to continue to play at a high level, and making sure that nobody is over there, you know, feeling too good about themselves. Or again, always finding the things that sometimes you're successful, but you weren't great on that play, you know, alignment, assignment, things like that. And so you want to get that corrected immediately. And so sometimes that's a harder thing for young people that aren't experienced to grab a hold of. What do you mean? I made the sack or whatever. Yeah, but you weren't supposed to blitz. Your guy was actually wide open. You made the play, but like that, I don't know if that exact thing happened, but something like that happens virtually every week. And your job as a coach is to find those things and get it corrected.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.